It's about that time. It's Thursday night, 8 o'clock. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the Tree Hugger. And we're going to talk about kayak fishing and going fishing and being in kayaks and that kind of stuff. So we got the folks here on the quarterdeck or Buzzard's Row, Mr. Bill Howard Hayward. Come on in here. Hey, Bill, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Chip. How are you?
All right. I'm good, man. I'm good. You spent some time in Texas over the last week there, man. Was it hot enough for you out there?
Yeah, it was like 105 the first day I got there. I was like, oh, I want to go home.
And dry, too, right? I mean, they're like...
Yeah, you know, it's surprisingly dry, and Houston is right on the water. We weren't that far from the water. It was pretty dry, so that was
weird. Wow. Yeah. And then also the youthful sidekick there, a bad back cast from Tampa area, Mr. Rob DeVore. Hey, Rob.
How you doing?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
You're a little sidekick, man. You're like Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm always around, right? If there's not kayak fishing radio, what is there to do, right?
That's right. That's right. We don't need TV anymore. So.
And yes, it's been raining like holy...
Yeah.
You know what here, man? I mean,
yeah.
Came home, power was out, and it's been off and back on a couple of times since I got home. So it's been pretty nasty out today.
Dang. So the
Hopefully
whole Southeast.
Gets it all over with. Yeah, if it gets it all over with by the weekend, I'll be happy.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to find me a pond to get in, I think, this weekend. So I'm going to break the spell. So, also joining us in here from just up the road a piece from me could be Ken from the Georgia Kayak Fishing Group, Dino Bowling. Hey, Dino, how are you tonight?
Good, brother. How y'all doing?
Good, man. I wish that it wouldn't lightning and thunder at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Boy, I'm telling you.
You know?
Not get a whole night sleep, you know?
Right.
Not get woke up halfway through the night.
Yeah. At least the weather radio don't go off. Didn't go off last night. No tornadoes. Yeah, we do. So hopefully the folks over there in Texas will get some. Also up here on the row is the man with the voice for radio, Mr. Greg Becker.
I still wish I knew where that came from. But
you do. You have a great voice for radio, man.
It's all the helium I did when I was younger.
That's probably right.
Oh. Hey, can I ask Greg a question?
Sure you can.
Oh, that's.
Does he have a microphone in front of him right now?
Say that again?
Does he have like a radio mic?
I do not.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
All right.
Like one of them big old silver ones, you know, like in the old days?
Yeah. I just picture him sitting in front on his desk with the old timey microphone in front of him.
I don't have an old-timey one, but I do have a microphone and a mixer in front of me. So.
I do own one, actually.
Oh, man.
But
don't use it, man. You just blow us all away, man. It'd be like be like Ricky Ricardo on the radio or something. All right, what do we got here? Bill, we're looking at the folks. Say hey to the folks in the chat room. We got Benito Bramlett. There he is. Mr. Brett Allen. Another one of my fishing buddies there from just down the way in Noonan.
Yeah, I don't.
What? And Greg Crisp joining us from New Hampshire. And JC0068, welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio. And the number, if you'd like to call in and give us your opinions, 714-816-4727. So... what do I got here on my list? 14 and a wake up, Boondoggle.
Yeah.
Charleston, South Carolina. October 7 through 10. We're going to be at the Mount Pleasant KOA. And Outside Sports. Hey, Jerry. Thanks, man. JC0068. Welcome aboard in the chat room. But we're going to be there at the Mount Pleasant KOA. There's going to be also a captain's meeting on Friday night, and we're going to get there and go to the captain's meeting for a redfish shootout. That's just so happens. I mean, there was totally no foresight or thought surrounding the coincidence that we would be in the town when it would be a tournament. But it just so happens there is, and it goes to support the Wounded Warriors program called Heroes on the Water. And so I'm going to fish it. It's a $40 entry fee. It's any waters in the area, so it's not going to change our fishing plans any. And anybody who's showing up for the boondoggle, if you're wanting to get in on it, we can carpool over to the captain's meeting on Friday night and have a little fun. We're going to call in to the show. Spike will be hosting his Friday night show, so we'll call in live from the captain's meeting there, get a little publicity on the radio for the group, and they do some good work, and we're out for supporting it. So, but that's a redfish shootout, and then we're going to fish. I think we're going to have a bunch of folks fishing with us then in the Copahee Sound, so... Oh, all right. So Jerry is from Hollister, not too far from the Spiker, one of Spiker's friends. He lives in the shack on the beach. So I swear, man, I tell Spike, you know, that I think whenever I think of him, what was the name of that guy now? Haywood's probably old enough. You know the old beach movies, right? There was this one old guy. He had the beard and the kind of straw hat, you know, with the frayed pieces on the edges and stuff. Yeah. He lived in a shack on the beach with the surfboards around it. I think that's like Spiker, but instead of the surfboards, there's old kayaks hanging out all over the place, you know.
Well, you know, growing up where I did, right here on the south shore of the bay, that we had two hermits that lived on the water. One lived in a county park. The other one lived down in Cockroach Bay. And the guy at the park, you know, he'd been living there for years. And then the people that owned the property sold it, you know, to the county, and they made a county park, and they grandfathered him in, and he lived there until he died.
Wow.
But, I mean, that's the kind of, you know, he had the big bushy beard, long scraggly hair, lived in a little shack, you know, and it was
speaking of the devil, and he appears. Hey, Spike.
Yeah. Hey, is he talking about me? I just tuned in.
But his ears is burning.
It could have been a relative.
Yeah.
How's it going, fisherman?
All right.
So, Bill, was that the guy you were telling me the story about that you guys used to get fiddler crabs from when you were young?
Yeah, we would take him like a loaf of bread, and there was a big stump down kind of along the beach close to his shack. And if you put like a loaf of bread on there and came back an hour or two later, well, there'd be a pail and a little bucket full of fiddler crabs on there. And we'd pick him up, you know, and then we'd go fishing with him. You very rarely saw the guy. He was really elusive, but it was pretty cool. He had wild peacocks and guinea hens running loose throughout the area there and stuff. So, but you very rarely saw him. He was kind of like a ghost.
Man, Bill, you ever I don't know if you ever spend much time around Weekiwachee, like the river,
no.
Rogers Park and stuff like that. Dude,
no.
I back in the day, all right, I was a painting subcontractor, and I used to dream and live for going to Weekiwachee up to Rogers Park and renting a canoe for the day and going down the river. I mean, it was just awesome, and it never failed. You know, it'd be like hotter than blazes all summer long, all week long, and then lo and behold, you know, Saturday or Sunday it'd be thunderstorming half the day, you know. So anyway, there was this guy that lived across from Rogers Park, or across the river from Rogers Park up there, And what, you know, he rented canoes, you know, and they were like those big, huge aluminum, like 18 footers, man. I mean, you know, like just the big, huge. Yeah, they were awesome. But this guy, it was like a trailer, man. And it was like something you'd see out of Hoarders. And this guy, you know, he had like the big Civil War beard, and you could rent a canoe for the day for like, you know, I don't know, it was $12 or $15 or something like that. Right. So you'd go up there, rent the canoe and stuff. And this dude, there was like 100 cats that lived around this guy. And there nothing but like cat food cans and garbage and stuff coming out the guy's door, you know, his little trailer. It's not there anymore. He must have like died and they burned down or something, man. Because last time I was up there, it was nowhere to be found.
Well, you know, you've been to Cockroach, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Rob. Okay, so there's a water pipe that's right down by the beach, right there next to the boat ramp. Well, that water pipe used to go out that channel, and then the last cut on the left, as you go out, there's a big shell mound up in there. There used to be a stilt house right there, and that guy had electricity and running water ran all the way out there to that, to his little stilt house. And
no kidding.
You know, and he actually owned that property, you know.
Huh.
And I think it's been subsequently all of Cockroach belongs to the Tampa Port Authority now. They own it all. But I wouldn't.
That's weird.
You'd see his
little
boat.
Idea.
Yeah, you'd see his little boat pulled up there on the shore there, and yeah, that was a long time ago, man.
Not a bad life.
I don't know. You know that there was a guy living on a pontoon boat there with the mobile bait store for the longest time. A couple summers ago, he was out there for about a year. I don't know how he did it. I mean, because, you know, that's when we had that really cold snap. People were really worried about him freezing to death out there. But, I mean, he hung in there for about a year, but that's about as much as he could take.
I don't blame him. Don't like the cold.
All right. I love listening to people tell stories about fishing and experiences on the water and stuff. Spiker, got one of your neighbors in the house there, JC0068, in the chat room. So his name's Jerry. He's from Hollister, man. Giving you a shout out there.
Yeah, I just heard from somebody from Hollister. I didn't know if he knows. That's right above my old stomping grounds and one of those quiet but really fishy places. I think Hollister, and you guys see Hollister all over the fashion wear, don't you? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
A lot of the jerseys and stuff come out Hollister, California.
Oh, okay.
But that's all surfing, fishy, ocean going kind of stuff. Yeah, he's at a good spot there.
Yeah, he says not too.
Sonoma, and we'll hook up.
He's not too far from you, so.
No, it is, actually. It's a full day's ride.
Oh, really?
A long date, I tell you.
That's just
on
your bike, man.
It's about 13, 14 hours from the top to the bottom of the state.
Yeah, all right.
If you go off that beaten path anywhere, it's going to be a lot longer trip.
If you get on one, I survived day 1A, man. Holy crap. Monterey to San Diego on A1A, was brutal, man.
Well, that's kind of like going from my house anywhere.
It's a crazy thing.
I never started getting seasick until I was an adult, and it's actually carsick.
Yeah.
I can get carsick behind the wheel anymore on some of these mountain roads. Hey, what's going on in the fishing world? We're trying to plot our next adventure here.
I don't know. In fact, hang on, let me say hey to the two new arrivals. We've got Redfish Chuck in the house. Hey, Chuck.
Yo.
Chuck. There you are.
Here.
There he is. And then the latest champion of Redfish Fishing, our very own mermaid. Kaminsky. They're kind of muted. I have to turn them up a little bit. Let's try
it
again.
Take the blanket off the kids.
There you go. Hey, D.
Take the blanket off them kids' faces.
Hello, D. Did you bring us some kingfish dip?
Hello?
D's not here.
Hello? Hello?
D, has it been raining at your house today?
What? Rain?
It's been raining at your house today?
Yeah.
I'm going to put her on mute.
Yes, unfortunately.
So you've been sitting around just popping a few cold ones, looking out the window?
Yeah, can you tell?
No. Not at all.
Hi, everybody.
Exactly, that's it. All right. So JC0068, he's calling it quits for the night, but he said he'll tune in tomorrow. See you there, Spiker.
Right on. Thank you, brother.
All right. So D, you've got another trophy there. You were one of one, right?
Well,
how can you be the only person to remember to turn in your points?
Well, that's it. I don't think people have really understood what the whole deal is, but it's a 100% payout on the tournament. So if it's one person who pays in $45,
you got your 45 bucks back.
I got my 45. But no, I mean, if 10 people signed up, I got $450.
Sweet.
Because nobody showed up. Hello.
Way to go, girl.
Money. Just because you didn't understand what the rules were is my wallet's fat, you know?
Right.
Well, now I know what I've been doing wrong. I've been fishing against smart people.
Did you get first, second, and third place?
Technically, probably, yeah, I guess, but I mean.
Okay.
And here comes the controversy.
Right. So as I started off with the radio image, Spike and his little shack on the beach and his little frayed hat, I picture D now, you know, with her truck and her kayak on the roof, you know, and she's just kind of right next to the boat ramp there. And these guys are pulling in their little flats boat. She's like, hey, you guys looking to make a little money? I'm jacking out fishy today. So Dee's hustling redfish on the at the boat ramp there. Don't tell them any rules, right?
Well, yeah. And let's just say I bought myself a new camera.
You got a new camera? What'd you get?
Right on.
So you sent us all out that little inventory, right? And we posted what we thought.
Right.
What did you get?
Right. And thank you, everybody, for doing the wonderful questionnaire thing. And thank you, everybody, who participated or lack of participation to give me the funds to purchase it. But I did get a Panasonic Lumix camera. It's a TS3 model. It's a 12.1 megapixel that does HD at the top quality of 1080. Yay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that fisheye that the GoPro has, but you can, if you want, you can do that. I don't know what to tell you. I guess I'll give it a try. Not too many people even looked at it or have it, so it'll be a tough sell, you know. I won't say a tough sell. Everybody has to take a look at what its features are and whatnot. So I hope
the name of it again.
The video. I got a Panasonic Lumix TS3, 12.1 megapixel on the photo shoot and a 1080 for video.
Sounds cool.
And I'll tell you what, I have a spreadsheet that I put together. I don't know many of you know what I like to do, but I really am almost an accountant style kind of person. I like to look at the positives, the negatives, everything that there is about everything. And there's no way that you're going to get, like everyone was saying, one camera is going to do it all for you. Carry a video camera, carry a camera and whatnot. But it's a very tough sell when you want to try to really, really all combine it into one, which is what my goal was. And I think this one came out as the best bet in price, quality. I should be one of those people writing up those reviews, you know. If they could give it to you for free, I would have been happier, right? Hello. Did I blow you all away? Yeah.
Now we're all looking up this high speed low drag camera on the online so we can
All right. Well, it has GPS. Yeah, it has some GPS functionality to it. I'm not sure if that's something really cool, but that would be really nice to be able to know where you took a picture of your fish at.
No,
it has an altimeter, it has a barometer.
It'd be nice for us to know where you took that picture.
Yeah, you don't want to take a picture and have your GPS coordinates attached to that.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean everybody can read your EXIF file.
Sure,
you know, they don't know. It's only
sure
for
can.
You.
It's not hard. As soon as you post that picture to the web, then they can see that information.
No,
somebody that knows anything about computers can pull
that
information from it.
If the second you actually do any editing to that photo, whether it's compressing it or whatnot, that information disappears.
You think it does?
Yeah, I don't know.
I've tested it.
All right, I'm going to test one of your pictures right now, Dee.
No, I haven't done it since.
No, but I can
do the new one.
I can tell when you took it and your camera settings.
I don't think many of you know what my background is in computers.
All right, let me welcome aboard.
When I get that camera, let me tell you, you might not be able to answer that one.
Just watch out, right?
Watch out, baby.
Is it pink?
No, I didn't get the pink one. I actually got the red one. Sorry.
Well, that's kind of flashy. That's more adult.
You know why?
Why?
Because they gave me a free camera card. If I got orange or blue, they wouldn't give me a free camera
card.
You know. No shit.
You get the red one to get a free card?
Oh, I'm not supposed to swear. I'm sorry.
We bleeped you. Let me say real quick, hello to Rob Choi, who's joined us.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Are you fishing, man?
I'm actually on my way down to Virginia Beach area of Richmond to do some fishing.
Yeah, you got the yaks with you, or you're just going to fish off the beach?
No, I got them both. I got two of them up there. I'm actually taking one of the vets out on Saturday for the TKA tournament, so I'm bringing the extra one with me and getting pretty pumped up for it.
So you're headed to TKAA?
Yeah. I'm getting down there a little early since I got the day off tomorrow. Might as well fish tonight, too. So fishing mostly tomorrow, and then through the captain's meeting, and then taking a vet out to Rudy and then on Saturday. So.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, excited.
If you get a chance during the captain's meeting tomorrow, give a call in. Spiker will pick up the line and talk to you.
All right, cool. Yeah, if I remember, I'll try to do that.
You do that, right, Spike?
Love to hear from you.
Yeah, they're at the TKAA tournament, man.
I know. Right. I'm following it all.
Yeah, all right. Cool. So I was on mute. It was really funny too, because you were talking about the GPS thing. and I said something and I laughed and I forgot I was on mute. But I was wondering if you take a picture with that camera, D, of a fish in a magazine, will it tell you where it's at?
In a magazine?
Yeah, you know, like if there's a picture of a fish and you take, will it tell you where it's at?
You mean if
but
the,
it really wasn't
the
that funny then, I guess.
Published?
Never mind.
Like where
when you post your yeah, when you post your big trout pictures, it'll put like a little map next to it.
Yeah.
So we can like zero in on it next time we're over there.
Right.
Yeah. Can you see the big bridge in the background? I think that would be a better bet.
I didn't hear it, Greg. I don't think I heard it. Oh, all right. You got it, right? All right.
Cricket noises.
All right, there it is.
There we go.
Okay. We'll move on. So
I'm here
you gotta,
all night, folks.
Yeah.
Don't forget your waitress.
Try the clams. Brett, you leaving, man? He's like waving. In the house, too, Mitchell Dorsey, also known as Scott the Pirate. He has shown up. And who else do we got in there? LGB has just drifted in. Got a bunch of guests in there. Welcome aboard to Kayak Fishing Radio. And if you want to register and get your name in there, then you can participate in the chat. You can call in anytime, 714-816-4727. And we'll listen to pretty much anybody. Another announcement here from Kayak Fishing. Congratulations to Mr. Haywood. I saw the Finns representative now. He's been picked up by the Finns fishing team. Tell us about Finns, Bill. What is Finns?
Well, Finns is a super braided line, and it's the first situational type braided fishing line that you can buy. They have what they call wind tamer. They have smooth cast. They have just a regular braid. Let's see if I can find a link. I'll put it up there. But, yeah, I'm excited about it. There's a lot of things coming up here. Like I was telling you before the show started, there's a few things that are on the radar that I can't talk about. But I got some cool trips lined up and some things in the works. So should be a good active rest of the year, you know.
Congratulations to you there. And Dee just fell out there, so we'll look for her to come back in and say goodnight. But, cool, man. So Kayak Kevin just showed up in the house there, and we're just kind of chatting about fishing. And so we got the Boondoggle coming up in a couple of weeks. We're going to be up in Charleston, South Carolina.
I wish I could make that, man. I really wanted to. You told me about it a while ago, and I really wanted to go, but it's fun to make it tough for me to travel all the way down there, man.
Yeah.
Sorry about that again.
How far is that away from you, man? You're on the other end of the coast, aren't you?
I'm Richmond, Virginia, so it's a good hike for me, and I can't really spend that kind of money right now.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's cool. You're going to TKAA, man. You'll represent well.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, but yeah, we've got some folks. I signed up the clone today, so we're at 9 now. So if Hammerhead gets his clone signed in there, we'll have 10. So we'll get a badge for the Boondoggle at Chucktown.
The Salt Warrior is almost confirmed.
Oh, almost?
Russ from Oklahoma that just moved to Louisiana. He's probably going to show too.
Wow. That's a drive. It's going to be competitive between him and Hammerhead as far as who gets the award for long distance drive, man.
I don't know, Louisiana or Louisiana or
you get extra credit for Louisiana roads.
New Hampshire.
Have you ever driven through Louisiana?
Yeah.
It's like driving over telephone poles, man, the whole way. I mean, the roads are just terrible down there. So you get like you get double mileage. It's like flying, man. So, But yeah, we're going to be.
Well, I'm taking a long way, so.
Yeah.
I'm taking
going
a long
you're going
way,
to like
so
Michigan and then driving in or something like that.
Yeah.
So, Dino, you out of here, man?
Yeah, I'm going to check out.
All right, buddy. You got anything to announce? You got anything to pass for us?
Nothing much, man.
Okay.
Nothing much going on.
All right, dude. We'll talk at you later.
Bye, buddy.
Have a good
evening. Hi.
Yep. Tight lines. So let's see. Brett says he's going to be in Tybee the week following. So that's on the that's just south of Savannah there. No. Yeah, I have driven in New Hampshire, Greg, and it's worse. And it's really worse. It's not as bad as New Hampshire, though.
The only thing about being up there in New England like that is, like, when you're driving down the interstate and you're looking for the exit sign is past where the exit ramp, you know what I mean? So you got to have, like, you know, perfect 20/20 vision and binoculars to be able to see the exit sign and the arrow, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, call me an idiot.
No, you're just the funny little sidekick. But, you know, I was going to ask you before we went on the line there, how many rods are you going to take, man? I got some extra ones if you don't want to try to put – I wouldn't trust the airline guys to take care of your gear, man.
You would or you would not?
I would not, man. I mean, I have –
Yeah, me either.
When I travel, no. I've got like a four-piece rod that I carry, and it's real small, so I can just carry it on with me and stick it in the overhead.
Rob, are you flying up there?
Yes. Sort of. Yes. It's a long story. I'll have the full story when I get back. But it is, I'm flying. And so I'm just trying to, you know, like I said, I had got the hockey bag out and put the rods in because that was the idea, was to stick the rods in, PVC and then stick that in the hockey bag, and I'm about 10 inches too long for the hockey bag. So, two-piece rods. But all I need really, Chip, is just two, you know. So,
right.
I don't know. We'll see. I could probably swing something, you know.
You're better off sending your rods like FedEx or UPS to your first destination.
Yeah, because
they're
gorillas up the airport, man. They just chuck the shit.
They don't care.
They get
it as a carry-on. Yeah, I know. I was thinking about it, but I think it might be too long. You know, they're 7-foot rods, two-piece, and I think it might, you know, you're looking at like 3.5 feet there. So, I don't know. That might be too long. I don't know.
Did you try getting a piece of...
I'm not thinking about it, though. Go ahead.
Did you try getting a piece of PVC? Because you could put them in the opposite direction. You can usually put three rods in like a piece of 3-inch PVC.
It was 2-inch PVC and it fit fine. It was just I can't fit the length inside the bag.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I would go that route. You know, just stick
just
it right inside
it
the bag.
To the outside, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they'll make it. Have some fiberglass splinter or fiberglass splinters hanging off of it, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, that looks like a rod guide. No. I don't know. I'll probably manage something. I'm not worried about it. I'm good on the fly like that. So.
Well, just chance a real nice rod. Those guys would tear them up. Or they won't ever show up.
I don't have any real nice rods, number one. Oh. So it's no big deal. But no, I'm not worried about it, man. I'll figure something out, and if worse comes to worse, I'll just buy them up there, you know. So I'm really not worried about it. I'll get a Barbie fishing pole, you know, whatever.
Another one?
Another one, yeah. No, that first one was a Snoopy one, man. That was a Snoopy pole he had there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, man, the My Little Pony rod, you know.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
And Scott's saying get you some M-rods, man.
M-rods?
Yeah, you ever seen those? It's like a fishing rod handle with a reel seat and then a piece of heavy wire that's got a little curl in it, like a spring, and then it goes up to a and comes out like a rod tip.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they're little big short
things. Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah. Hey, you know, I don't. Brett says you can get ugly sticks for $15. I think they're closer to 30. Those aren't bad. I like those. I have a couple of those. But believe it or not, I use the Shakespeare excursions, which are 7 foot. They're glass and they're actually halfway decent. I like the way that they feel. They're super lightweight and they have a short handle, and they're 7 foot. And they're $14.96 a pop. And if they bust, you just get another one.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen some $100 rods that bust just as easy as those things do. So, you know, I'm not afraid of those, man. Those are fine. I know I sound like an idiot, but
you know what you
I
wish
like
you had?
What's that? The carrot stick?
The Popeil Pocket Fisherman.
The Pocket Fisherman, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I used to have one of those.
Did you really? I had one too, man.
Yeah.
I got it for
somebody
Christmas.
Oh, yeah, he likes fishing, so get it for him for Christmas, yeah. Yep, same thing, one of those things. I'm like, really?
Anybody else? Bill, did you have a Popeil Pocket Fisherman, man?
I had some Banjo Minnows.
And some Banjo Minnows?
Banjo Minnows.
Lovely, man, lovely.
Listen, there's a group of guys that I used to fish with out of Lakeland, and we took some of these trips, like the Chokoloski trip that we took, and there was eight of us, and each one of us had to bring one of those Snoopy rods, you know, one little kid rod. One night, they have a dock at the place we were staying, and we'd go out on that dock and fish at night. So one night, everybody had to bring down their Snoopy rod, and dude, we caught some awesome fish that night with those little crappy rods, man. It was awesome. We had a great time.
That's fantastic, dude. Yeah, I've been thinking of actually taking my daughter's little Disney princess rod over to catch my spoolie stripers just because they get so thick you can pretty much throw anything in front of them. So it'd be kind of fun to tangle with that.
You get a
yeah,
prize if you catch a fish that's bigger than the rod, right?
Oh, that'd be awesome. You know, my friend Justin, actually, because these stripers are so aggressive in the light line, it's like basically anything that moves and fits in the mouth to eat it. He took like a Toy Story, it's like maybe like 3-inch tall plastic woody, and he drilled some holes and got, you know, put in a couple treble hooks out there, and he caught a bunch of fish on that thing, man.
Awesome.
He recently made one with a little matchbox car, and he said he made it for me, so I'm trying to get it from him sometime and try to catch one. I might put it on that little princess rod, see if it works.
That's beautiful.
Hey, seriously, I have a friend, and we were fishing at Bel Air Causeway, and it was me and my buddy and his son, you know, just fishing off the sandbar there, and this is back in the day, throwing shrimp, and, you know, his boy's got a little... I mean, you know, one of those little G.I. Joe rods or something, you know. I can't, you know, Transformers or something. Who knows? And he hooked a 40-inch snook on this thing, right? My buddy. And it's only got like 5 pound. It's got like 5 pound mono on the thing, you know. And it's probably, you know, a 4-foot rod with like a little, you know, push button reel on it. And my buddy took it away from him, and he's like, I'll get that fish, you know. And he did. It took him a while, man, but he got that thing in on, like, 5-pound test. No kidding, man. It was a giant snook. Probably it was a big one, man. So that was, like, a feat of one of those feats of fishing genius that you just go, wow, man, really?
Did you hear about the one in North Carolina? I feel like last year or the year before, the state record channel catfish is like 20-some pounds caught on a Barbie rod. They were just sitting
out there.
No kidding,
really?
Yeah, seriously. You can probably look it up online. I'm not at a computer right now, but I'm pretty sure it's like 20-some pounds. Like last year or the year before, or maybe the year before that, but recently.
That's awesome.
Used to, the little yellow or orange, they call them Cuban reels. You ever use one of those?
Yo-yo.
Yeah, the Cuban yo-yo.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is fun when you've had a couple of beers to go down, when you know there's some big grouper down on a wreck or around some pole, and see who's manly enough to hang on to one of those rascals.
And you're talking about like a hand line deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be wild, dude.
Yeah, so you don't, you know, you just don't get your fingers out in front of that line when it starts coming off.
Yeah, I'll be
happy. But that's kind of the old man of the sea. But, yeah, we should probably, I'll start watching eBay and pick up a bunch of old Popeil Pocket Fishermen. We have a little tournament, man.
I think he ought to be. He should be. If he puts those rods in a piece of PVC and then check it in, I think they'll let you carry that on. You should be able
really?
To
you
put
don't
it
think
in
it would
overhead.
Be too.
Why don't you?
I mean, I would.
It's
I would
not going to be
that.
It's not be the airline. Okay. It's going to be the guys at security. Those are the ones that are going to give you the biggest hassle about it.
Well, no, it's going to go through the dang X-ray machine, so it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's a pipe bomb.
A PVC
yeah,
one.
A 3-foot pipe bomb.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll sort something out, but if worse comes to worse, just you know, I'll buy two of them at Walmart, man. So they don't bother me. I don't care. But I might need something a little bit sturdier because if we're talking, you know, 40 and 50 inch redfish here, I think that I might be a little bit outgunned with the excursion there. You know.
So. Speaking of 40 and 50 inch redfish, did you see those pictures that guy Kevin posted up? He's gonna call
him.
Yeah,
guy with it.
Not the one with the one he was swimming with. Monster too, but it had Kevin and another guy, and they're side by side in the yaks. One had a 40, and the other had a 50.
If it was Adam, it would have looked like a shark.
Oh, it looked like a shark as it was, man. Those are monster fish. That's just sick. Shouldn't do that, man. And then just to post it all over the internet. That's like you, Rob, with your Mr. Choi, with your giant shell cracker fish there, man.
I think Kevin was leading, man. He just showed me the work, what to do, and I went out there and just gave it a shot, man.
I know.
Yeah, like he always says, man, you guys got to put the time in the water and you learn as you go. And not to mention, it's a fantastic fishery up here is what it is. And we just got really lucky to have that kind of fishery up there.
It's a wonderful fishery, man.
It is.
So,
it really is.
So who's closer to the area, like a local there around Charleston, you know, just across over, you know, somebody that wouldn't be such a long drive? I'd like to invite, you know, some local talent to show up and meet the local folks. You know what I'm saying?
On the listen mode, I'm not on the chat mode, so that's cool.
We can hear you, D.
Shut up.
She's sitting at the bar there. So, Mr. Choi, what do you think? Who's local there?
It's Charleston.
Yeah, Charleston.
I don't know, man. I know one guy in North Carolina. What's his name? Man, the guy knows his stuff. He's always out there. He's in a Redfish 14. And he just, I forgot his name. I'm so terrible, but.
Where's Madre at? Where's Jeff at?
He can't go.
You can't go?
Yeah, I already asked him.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't know if Kevin wants to drive either, but you can probably ask him. I don't know if he's tried that or not.
He said it's...
He's saying he kind of wanted to travel some more anyway, so yeah, give him a call, man, or shoot him an email.
He said it's a possibility. He's listening.
Yeah, he's in the chat room.
He's in the chat room.
He said recently he wants to travel
some,
so maybe you will. I don't know.
That'd be cool. You know, that's one of the things about the boondoggle is that, you know, the folks who are just trying to get into the sport and all. I mean, when we were at Little Talbot, we had several folks come up who didn't even have kayaks, but they listened to the show or they, you know, saw they were on yakangler.com or one of the local kayak fishing groups and you know, down there in Jacksonville, you know, they got the Irish water dog stuff and but they came out, you know, and they got an opportunity to talk to folks who, you know, put up some big fish on the boards and stuff, you know, and they get the opportunity. So that's just one of the things about being doing the boondoggles is getting out there and so folks can meet, you know, and because, I mean, you know, a lot of times when you're looking for a guide or somebody to go fish with, you don't have a clue who they are, you know, and you're kind of shy about talking to them and asking them. So try to provide the opportunity to let folks meet people out there and stuff. So, but that's 2 weeks away. And then we are going to, Dee's already checked out. She's pre-fishing tomorrow. So, and then we are on the 22nd of October. We're thinking about going and trying chasing after some big black drum and Cedar Key. So I'll give that a try. Yeah. I was amazed, man. Haywood turned me on to Cedar Key. And, you know, you're like, I'm squinting, looking for tails, man. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, a blue whale breaching, you know, this big giant hand-sized, you know, two hands full of tail stick up out of the water. And it's like, dude, man, we're 100 yards away and I can see that thing.
It's like the head of a broom popping up out of the water.
Yeah,
it is like that, yeah. Yeah, we get that at the first island sometimes. Kevin and I were out there early in the summer, and we were, like, right above them, like, probably 10 feet away from it. It's, like, just amazing how massive that thing is, and it's just burying its head down there looking for something to eat, like, full tail sticking out of the water. It's just amazing.
It's very cool. And the second day we were there, Bill took off. Bill could only fish with us the first day, but the second day, me and the clone went back out, and there was this one little oyster bar, and it had like a cut in the middle of it, and the water was flowing through that cut, and we could see the fish, and they just came in one right after the other. We had like 8 of them go right past us, you know. And I mean, they're within, like, you could just reach out with your rod and touch the tail, you know.
Yep.
They were that close, but they wouldn't eat anything.
Yeah. Yeah, we have that problem at the first island too, man. It's like, you see him and you can throw everything you want at it. You can dangle. I mean, I think Kevin could probably attest to my frustration. I had the thing, it was sitting right in front of its face, and I could have swore he was going to eat it, and just didn't want anything to do with it. I don't know. Nice big chunk of clam on there.
I actually had him pick it up. You know, I was using half a blue crab, you know, had him pick it up 1 second, you know, and then you just feel them drop it, you know. They don't even mess with it. It's like, so he couldn't resist. You know that? He couldn't resist because here he is, Kayak Kevin, the man. Here, Kevin.
There he is.
There he
is.
You couldn't resist.
Yeah. It's me. It's Kev. Well, y'all talking about the black drum out there at Cedar Key. I caught one while I was on tour there, like a 40-incher. I'm trying to pull the picture up and link it up there, but yeah, you're talking about that and totally tail out of the water, just like Rob. We see him at the first island, just root in the oysters, just tail all out of the water. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just crazy. So
yeah,
the clone was digging it though, man. That was his first experience getting a good look at some tail and fish, you know. So you got the sight.
Probably like they're massive fish. I mean, you can compare it to their own body. It's like as big as they are, seriously. And I imagine it's a pretty amazing thing to see when you're that small.
Yeah. So he,
Were y'all fishing on that reef just east of Cedar Key?
You just go. We went out to Shell Mound and put in right there.
Yeah.
And just went around that island where that pier is.
Yeah. You didn't go all the way east past it. There's a where I camped was what's called Corian Reef. It's just a big oyster reef with shells washed up on top of it, and it was just like a maze of oysters. I mean, it's like a mile long. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's where I saw red tail in there, and
like
I saw
that.
The black. Yeah, yeah, that place is badass.
It's fun, and it's kind of the town is kind of cool, you know. Cruising around downtown and everything, it's kind of like you actually think you're in the Keys. It's like, you know, kind of got that atmosphere down there. A lot of tourists and stuff. But we cruise around through the town looking at the little neighborhood and stuff, you know, and then turn one corner. Next thing you know, we're driving down the runway there at the little airport, you know.
Well, I didn't see too much of the inland side of it. I saw it all from the water.
Yeah, you were looking at it from the water.
I stopped in the tackle shop, bought some water rod, actually. Once I saw that fish, once I caught that fish, I was like, I need a bigger rod for this Florida trip.
Yeah. So, keep it on your calendar. 2 more weeks, Kev, we're going to be down in Charleston, man. Show up if you get a chance.
Man, I tell you, Charleston's not that far for us here in Virginia to travel down there for a boondoggle. I'm not going to be able to make this one, but if you ever do one again and that one's pretty cool, I'll definitely do one in the future.
Okay, well, if nothing else, go ahead.
Hey, you know that dude Ryan? Doesn't he live down there, man? He lives in
Carolina in Lakeshore Beach, Wilmington area. I mean, it's still about 100 miles from Charleston or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Never mind. But you know, that guy catches fish, man.
Ryan Honeycutt is his name, and
yeah.
Kings and tarpon are offshore right now. That's what he's on.
Yeah.
Boy,
that guy catches fish, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so you just put up your picture there. Let me take a look at
it. Yeah. There's the link to that. Just scroll down a little bit, and it's in the black drum. It's like a couple, 5 pictures down or so.
Yeah. Little cobia there. There you go.
Like, oh, and talking about how the tails are coming out of the water, I got footage on it for this DVD coming out. So I've actually got real good footage of them nosing up, tails flipping out of the water, and them swimming around.
Yeah. And then Haywood he's poling around in this one little area. You know, it's kind of like a little cove. And, he'd spook one, and you'd hear him drumming across underneath you. It's like,
we've heard that one time where we went over to school. It was deep water. It was like 20 foot of water, but it just sounded like somebody's car stereo. Dum, 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 dum.
Yeah. I mean, even
we could hear it through the kayaks.
Even my wife, who's gonna show up at the boondoggle there in Charleston, but. She went to Cedar Key and she was out there and she saw the tail come up and she sat there for like, it was like a cat watching a mouse, man. She was just waiting for a chance to toss bait to that fish. But she was hooked on that one. So.
Oh, yeah. The one I caught was cool. It was in the morning. I was waiting for the tide to come up so I could get off that reef. And I was just sitting there at my camp and I looked down and that thing is pretty much at my feet rooting around in the oysters. And I had a little DOA shrimp and just threw it right in front of it and just twitch, and went over top of it and had it. And that was pretty exciting from shore. I mean, I wasn't in the kayak when I caught it. I was from the shoreline through all this maze of oysters sticking up everywhere. I was really surprised I even landed that one.
Yeah. Haywood ruined a new set of neoprene booties there, too. Those oysters.
Really? You were walking around on oysters and booties? Ouch.
Man, it all the time, man.
It was
really?
How many pair of waders do you go through all the time?
I'm on my original pair of my wading boots. I've had these things for 6 or 7 years. I
thought you were just. I thought you said you were. They were just waiting. You were walking around with no booties on or anything like that. Just the.
No. These are just little neoprene. Little neoprene booty. You know, just like the regular wading shoes. You know.
Yeah. No. Well, y'all don't wear waders down there anyway.
Occasionally.
In the late winter, it's cool enough to wear some waders.
I wear waders.
Who said waders? Choi, was that
Chuck.
You? Oh,
no,
Chuck.
Me, man.
Chuck wears waders.
Yeah, we definitely go through some waders up here, though. We're
yeah.
about to put
oh,
our
yeah, yeah. It's part of our life, waders are up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you're like Spike, who's sitting back listening to us, and he's like, you guys don't know nothing, man, because he's like putting a dry – he wears one of his big orange poopy suits.
Yeah, middle of summer, and he's like, it's 50-degree water. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to find me. There was a long time I didn't wear a life jacket when I was surfing – I mean, when I was launching my kayak through the surf, and I figured that – if I got knocked out of the boat in the surf zone, and we, in the early days especially, used to sit there. Sometimes we'd sit there for 30, 45 minutes waiting for that little window of opportunity to get out through 8, 9-foot waves. And sometimes you don't always judge it the right way. And I was always concerned that, like, if I had my life jacket on, of my boat hitting me in the head and knocking me out in the surf zone. So I didn't launch with my life jacket until one day all of that happened, and I got held underneath for long enough to make my own little movie and before I popped up and got a breath. And I realized that if the worst thing happens, I definitely want to be found.
Yeah.
So, and then I was able to remedy all of that with the suspenders life jacket. So I can actually launch with a life jacket that isn't going to explode right away because I've kind of disabled the automatic function on it. So now I just got to keep alert and awake. And I don't know how I got off on that, you fishy guys. Thanks for bringing me into it.
That's right. On that same thing, you know, when people go out there and play in the surf, they usually have helmets because getting knocked in the head. Actually, there was a guy in Carolina that I heard, it was maybe 6 years ago now, but he was just playing in the surf with a kayak and hit him in the head, and they found him 3 days later.
Wow.
Nah.
Yeah, I would be real careful in the surf kind of thing. So
I got to tell you, I think that a helmet, especially for coastal kayak anglers, is like the one totally underrated, underutilized, nobody's hardly even heard about it, and more people than that even care. A helmet is a really good idea in a lot of places.
Well, we've seen them, like a whole crew of them, they go out to the shoals where we're fishing for reds, and they go and play in that surf. They all have sea kayaks and their helmets and everything. I mean,
and
they,
body armor you need out there.
Yeah, and
I was
there.
Those are mussel shoals, aren't they? Oyster shoals.
No, they're sand shoals.
They're sand shoals.
But they're worried about getting hit with their boats.
I tell you,
yeah,
man.
Pretty nasty shoals, though.
I seem to worry about something new every day I go out.
But what I don't think those people realize is that the sharks are also moving into that area at the same time.
Yeah.
Those are the feeding grounds, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a wild, live place.
Yeah. Are you guys
just
dropped off?
Here.
Go ahead, Spike.
I'm sorry. I was just sitting here planning with Dungeness Crabs opening up against November 5th. And I'm realizing in writing up this year's program that really what I'm guiding is like couples who are stopping to see the California coast and want to take a big bag of crabs back to wherever they're staying. It's pretty funny. We guide a day session, which we've done for 16 years, which is basically to shortcut the whole sport for somebody, save them money on making their purchases, you shortcut, you know, the direction. We get people coming out from everywhere. So, B, I got a couple coming from Michigan. So we're going to be talking walleye and pike while we're sitting on the Pacific. But that crabbing thing, there's no way to really make it interesting, you know. You go out, you show them all the gear, you set a few pots, you tool around, you show them some sea lions, you see how many birds you can identify, and then you go pull other pots that were sitting there already, and it looks like a dangerous catch. They really love it. They really love it. It's a lot of fun. And I got to tell you, the Dungeness crab prices last year, the best price I saw on average was probably still a little over $5 a pound. So on a kayak, you go out there, paddle a few hundred yards, set your pot, pull it out 4 hours later, you got 10 fat crabs in there that average 2 pounds apiece.
Wow.
So that's $100 worth of crab.
Yeah.
And that's usually the exception. Dungeness is usually like $6, $7.99 a pound in the market.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, so I'm excited about crab in Florida and the eastern seaboard. I think for the kayaks, it's really underutilized. You know, there was such
a
big
crab. There's a guy who guides it here out of Virginia Beach.
Oh, good. On his kayak?
Yeah.
Good. I'm going to go guide with him. Who is it?
His name is Steven Zawa. He's also got a... caught a gigantic flounder in that same body.
Flatfish. Now you're talking dirty.
Well, not like y'all's flatfish. We got our big ones are 26 inches. Those are considered trophy size. He caught one that was almost like 29 inches. He held it up to the side of a trash can, and the thing was as long as a trash can barrel.
Damn. The only thing halibut have going for them is their size. A flatfish is a flatfish. And I don't care if it's a sand dab. I love fishing for fluke, flounder, halibut, sand dab, all of them.
Yeah.
They're some of the best fish in the sea.
Oh, yeah. Eating-wise, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
I don't know. I like cobia. Seen any of those down there, Chuck?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was sleeping.
Chuck slept.
Yeah, actually, this is the time of year where we get our fall migration, but the only problem is there is no such thing as fall kayak fishing for cobia.
Yeah.
The ocean tends to be too rough down here, but, yeah, we definitely start to see them now. My buddy was out, last week, and he was kingfishing, and while he was kingfishing, he had six of them swim up to his boat while he was sitting there gutting kingfish, so he caught four out of the six. I think the big one was 72 pounds.
Sweet.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, we get a spring run, and then we get a fall run, and we've got resident fish that are here all year round. And to really target them from a kayak, you really got to do it in the springtime. There's really no other time to do it effectively.
Where are you at? Where are you?
Down off of Space Coast, Florida.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Titusville.
Yeah.
Known best these days for its kayak fishing opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, did Scuba Stan stop in and see Chuck?
No, I didn't see Scuba Stan today. I was actually hoping to get a chance to talk with him a little bit, but
he's in the area.
So. Yeah, he's in Cocoa Beach.
Yeah,
like 2 seconds down the street from the shop. So
yeah, maybe you'll see.
Maybe
tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow. We'll see.
All right. Well, we've been just cooking right along here and blew right through an hour. So the reason I got a face for radio, I need some more beauty rest. So I appreciate everybody joining in. Kevin, what are you up to this week, man?
Fishing at the tournament. Yeah. And it's supposed to be stormy here tomorrow, but me and Rob are going to try to get out and do some pre-fishing, but don't know what we're going to do yet, but yeah. I fished today a little bit, caught a bunch of little tiny specks. Not really good for the tournament, but it was literally every cast, and you didn't even have to jig it. You just let it drop into the hole, and there they were. They were grabbing on the way down. So that was pretty fun.
Cool. So I told Rob that you guys, you know, at the captain's meeting tomorrow, Spike will be on same time, you know, with his show on Friday night. You guys call in and, you know, talk to some folks around there, pass phone around.
Yeah, that would be cool. That's a good idea. Yeah. That's a real good idea.
All right.
We'd love to hear from you. Me and Isaac the Nothing Miller will be debuting our first together Wild West show.
Yeah, the Wild West show. I'm going to nickname it the Ike and Spike show there. Or Spike and Ike.
Excellent, yeah.
There you go.
Spike and Ike. So, but yeah, you guys give
sweet,
a...
but it's just too corny.
It's good. It's good. I like that.
But all right, well, you guys, tight lines to you, and we'll hear from you tomorrow night, maybe.
Over and out,
you guys.
All right, later. Rob, you drive careful, man.
All right, man. Well, dude, I'll talk to you later.
All right, Chuck. Yeah. How's the conditions there, man?
Rainy, very, very rainy. We had bad thunderstorms push through this afternoon into the evening. Tomorrow looks like probably more of the same at some point. Saturday, perhaps more of the same. But tomorrow night, I have the captain's meeting for the Indian River Paddle Classic down at Strike Zone Fishing in Melbourne. So, Spike, I'll try and give you a shout if I can during that.
He's
and,
already gone.
Yeah, that's cool. Whatever. Then yeah. fishing the tournament, I guess, on Saturday morning. I don't know where I'm going to start to even think about going for that. Probably down in D's neck of the woods. But because it's a slam, it's a redfish trout tournament, so the biggest slam wins a Hobie of some kind. Yeah, there you go.
Cool.
Which I will then have shortly thereafter, if I should be so fortunate to win it, it will be available for sale on Craigslist to make room for some Jackson kayaks. But, yeah, that's my plan, man. That's all I got.
All right. Cool. And Chuck is our Monday night host for the week kickoff. So, you know, Monday night football is just not the same it was. So tune in and listen to Chuck. Right?
Thanks, bud.
That's right.
Rob.
That's right.
You got to be starting packing up your stuff, man. You got it all laid out, inventory.
I got 2 weeks.
Got the checklist
I
ready
got
to
two
go.
Weeks, man.
2 weeks, all right.
Got 2 weeks. Yeah.
You done any more video editing?
No, all my stuff from the other night was really dark. From the other day, it was really dark. So it was weird. I was like, you know, facing the sun, and the sun was like behind the mangroves. So it was like you got nothing in the foreground. All you see is like mangroves, which are really dark, and then sky. So
you know, I think if you,
I'm kind of.
You know that little polarizing filter that I have mine has?
Mm hmm.
You put that in there, man,
yeah.
That'll lighten it up because that little bit of dark will open up the aperture more. It'll slow the shutter speed down, give you more light.
It was, it wasn't very, you know, and that was when
cool.
I was catching fish. So, you know, so I did catch a couple of fish there that I might use. I don't know. We'll see. But, no, I haven't really edited anything.
Okay. All right, bro. Well.
But I got some new tunes, and everybody at work, I have to make like CDs for everybody at work now because they're all like freaking out over the tunes I'm making.
All right. We need to check out using Dropbox. You ever heard of that?
I haven't.
Brad?
Well, I did have. Well,
do you use Dropbox?
I used to on my old computer. I haven't got it on the Mac yet.
We should give it a try. That way there we can share stuff like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, especially when we get up there and start taking a lot of video, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, man. Well, I'm going to call it a night. Appreciate you showing up.
No problem, man.
All right.
Glad to be here.
What are we going to take it out with tonight, man? What do we got? Some good stuff here. I know, and you guys in the chat room, Brett, looks like, I think he already left, I don't know, but Hammerhead's still in there, looks like Kayak Kevin's ghost is still in there, so we'll take it on out with, we'll do the little funky outro there, man, that's pretty cool. Alright, so we'll see you guys next week. We thank everybody for tuning in. Kayak Fishing Radio, go to Facebook, like our page, Kayak Fishing Radio. And we got some links there on our website, kayakfishingradio.com. See you, Brett. And we'll check out next time. See you, Kevin. You guys, good luck in the tournament. Greg, we'll talk to you later. Y'all have a good night. We'll see you next time, Kayak Fishing Radio.